This is a previously recorded episode.
The show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to the
Undercard. He was looking at you.
I was going to have Jimmy start the intro.
You know, I can't. I'm always listening to the audio for the I'm always listening for the audio for see if it's playing over the waves. So there's a 10-second delay. I can't jump in as soon as we go live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I gotcha. Something I wanted to cover really quickly, and it has nothing to do with anything. Even David Phillips would find this funny. I guess Cool as Ice, the movie with Vanilla Ice, turned 25 today officially.
Really?
That was the movie that opened, if you remember, 14th on opening weekend. In 1991.
Drop that zero.
I told her that's the line. Drop that zero and get with a hero. I've never seen it. Is it?
Right,
is it
horrible?
Is it bad?
But it's
like,
it's
now
horrible.
You're like a pro.
Cheesy awesomeness. As I stand here in my Goonies hockey jersey,
it's $4.99 on Amazon. It's like $2 more than really good movies. So it's like,
yeah, phone off.
How?
Well, because they know drunk people our age will rent it.
Well, we're gonna celebrate
that's a
it tonight.
True story. That is a true story.
The bad thing about it, Rolling Stone magazine was saying, is that it opened like a month after like Nirvana's Nevermind hit, and that grunge scene just went
blew it out of the water.
Yeah. Not like he was going to go on to be one of the greatest rappers of all time or anything.
I beg to differ.
Better than better than Eminem?
No. We do have a lot of guests here, but we got to run through MMA really quick. A lot's happened since Jimmy and me have sat down. So we're going to start off with Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor was fined $150,000 for throwing a water bottle. Me and Dana White once again disagree on something. Dana White says that it's absolutely ridiculous he was fined $150,000. But how the Nevada Commission works, Jimmy, is that they're taking a percentage of the purse. There is no gray area. He threw something into the crowd during a press conference / weigh-in. And it's just behavior that shouldn't be tolerated. No matter how crazy it sounds that him and Diaz are going to be paying a lot of money for throwing a water bottle into the crowd – it's just a simple percentage of purse. It's a fine.
Right.
And Dana White was on The Herd Show, which is on Fox Sports 1, maybe. And he was talking about it, thinking, saying it was absurd. But here's the thing. You're trying to deter the behavior. You don't want the behavior to happen again. And it's a percentage of purse. So I actually side with the Nevada Commission on this. Dana White, you know, says it's ridiculous. Conor McGregor says he'll never fight in Nevada again. Which Dana did bring up a good point. He could fight him in Iowa. It doesn't matter. He's marketable.
Right.
So he doesn't want to fight in Nevada again. And, you know, Zuffa is based out of Nevada.
Right.
And whatever. It's nobody's loss. He's fighting in New York here in a few minutes.
I mean, is this like first offense all of a sudden just bam, or has he done this before?
No, it's for throwing a water bottle. It's the first offense. I mean, it's a percentage of the purse.
Right, so and I get no that. I'm just saying. I was just saying. I think maybe you get a mulligan on the hey, don't do that again. And then if he does it again, then you find him a percentage of the purse.
You can't do that because what if it got WWE style and he threw a chair and it hits?
Well, that would be different because you can do some serious damage with a chair.
Right. So you
the water bottle.
You try to defer it.
Someone might melt.
Yeah, we don't have Alphaba sitting in the audience.
So you're trying to deter that behavior because, you know, at weigh-ins it gets heated. We're with some people that know. You don't want that behavior. It's bad enough there's a show.
I understand. I'm just saying.
Punch.
Yeah. I'm just saying that maybe, you know, first time, hey, don't do that again. Then if he does it again, you cite him the percentage of the purse.
I mean, it's water. Come on.
Right. Exactly.
It was a water bottle.
Yeah,
and
but
it had
water
velocity.
In it?
No, I don't believe it did.
Okay.
I don't care. I don't care. I mean, Conor McGregor is a strong guy, but I don't care who you are. Unless you're standing like from me to you and he chucks at somebody, you're not going to do any serious damage.
No. Big news, Ronda Rousey does have a date with Amanda Nunes.
Oh, okay.
She's fighting.
I thought you were about to say Amanda Bobby Cooper. I'm like, damn, girl.
She moved up.
No,
in the
ranks.
That's going to happen December 30th. That's going to be in Las Vegas. We were just talking about the Nevada Commission. And she gets a title shot. I'm okay with the title shot. And
yeah, I am too. Do you think, though, if she loses, she's done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And not only is she done,
dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know if the women's division, they need her.
So right.
Like, if you're rooting for women in UFC, you got to be rooting Ronda.
Yes. But I do think there's some up-and-comers, Amanda Bobby Cooper, who might be able to, you know, pick up the slack of the women's division, who is marketable, who is likable, who... You know, once she gets up there and shows what she can do, might be able to carry, you know, a woman's a division. I couldn't think of the word. The women's division or whatever. And you also have a couple, you know, like Amanda Nunes and people like that, that I don't know. I mean, if Ronda goes, yeah, it's going to hurt them temporarily, but I think in the long run, it'll be okay.
Few indicators that it might not be okay. I'm old school, and we've talked about this before. I didn't like when Hoyce Gracie was put second name over Ken Shamrock when he had beaten Ken Shamrock previously two times. I think Amanda should have her name first in the fight. I'm just old school. If you're the champion, you know, if James Ballard,
right,
who's one of our guests, you know, if he's champion, it should be Ballard versus whoever the opponent is. And
right.
It isn't.
Say
it's.
Yeah?
It will
say if.
Win.
Say win.
I don't say if.
Ronda Rousey, you know, she gets the top billing.
Yeah.
I mean, she's everything.
But
to
she,
that.
For now, she is. But the PR machine that is the UFC and the PR machine that they have put behind her, I think that if they needed to switch gears, they could very quickly switch gears. And like I said, it's going to hurt them temporarily in the short term. But I think in the long term, they're going to find somebody else who is marketable, likable, you know, all that kind of stuff like that. And they're going to get their PR machine behind them and push them to the top. And they'll just rally behind them.
Amanda Cooper. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Amanda,
that's what I'm saying.
Came,
Amanda Bobby Cooper.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm saying, you know,
everyone's sick here.
Yeah. Huh?
I'll say
everyone's
this.
Sick here.
Yeah, I know.
I'll say this, and I honestly believe this. Amanda Bobby Cooper, when she goes up the ranks, Ronda won't be around anymore.
No,
it's going to take, you know, about a year.
I'm not saying it's – that's what I said. Temporarily, it's going to – it would hurt them if Ronda went away. But in a year's time, you know, 6 months' time, in a year's time or whatever, you have those – you know, people like ABC who, you know, Dana, you know, if he's smart and if she keeps doing what she's doing, he's going to get a PR machine behind her, just like he got a PR machine behind Ronda, and he's going to market her. And I think that she'll be able to fill that slot, that missing slot right now.
UFC 205 happening in New York. Conor McGregor, this is going to be the biggest UFC event. Dana White has said that it's going to be bigger than the UFC 200 card, which we all agreed was a disappointment. The fight. Sometimes the promotion doesn't lead up to what's going on.
I think a disappointment is a huge understatement.
But
it was a you-know-what show. I mean, just from top to bottom.
I don't get to experience this part. This is the worst part about and Rochelle will tell you, I collect ticket stubs from every concert I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
And whether I even pay for the concerts, because that's the that's the perk of being media. I don't think I've paid for a concert in years.
I thought you were going
to
say something else.
We've had to.
I was going to say something else, but go ahead.
But So I wouldn't get a UFC ticket stub ever. You would get a lanyard. But did you see what the UFC tickets for 205 are?
No.
It's a hologram, and when you turn it, it's the Statue of Liberty with Conor McGregor's face on it.
What?
It's the coolest thing ever, dude. You gotta look up the 205.
All right, I'm gonna look it up here.
I hope they make fight posters like that. I would get a Conor McGregor.
You know what? I would get a UFC fight poster if they did that with the hologram
in a shirt. Shirt with one? Come on.
A shirt? I don't know, because a shirt's going to be hard to do a hologram on.
No. I'm just saying the image of him being.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Find it really quick.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, they were the coolest ticket stubs out there. I love ticket stubs. And I don't print them off. I'm huge into that. The way people do through the computers and stuff like that nowadays. I mean, you know, the Xerox copies, I think that's absolutely horrible. But I like to show Rochelle all the time. I have all my ticket stubs from, like, all the years. I even have people that wanted to go to Pacquiao Bradley. I have their ticket stubs that begged me for the tickets and then didn't show up. I have those tickets just laying around. They were like, oh, get me Pacquiao Bradley tickets, and then they never showed up. But I have their stubs, and I have my credential somewhere. So did you find it yet?
I'm looking through all the images.
Just type in UFC.
I did. I typed in UFC 205 tickets, Conor at Statue of Liberty.
Don't type in Conor at Statue of Liberty.
Ticket stub. I did that, and I didn't get anything. So then I tried doing it as Conor at Statue of Liberty, and I still can't find anything.
I'll find it for you.
Yeah, see if you can find it.
Well, for sure I will.
I got a picture of the Statue of Liberty doing
a
sidekick.
Wi-Fi.
No, it's the same. It's the same thing. You just got to retype in the password.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll get to that. But we got some familiar faces in here, and we got some new faces in here. We're going to switch over to boxing. Of course, we're still waiting for the Kovalev-Andre Ward fight, as the boxing world is waiting for this fight to get here. There's a lot of local action that's going to be happening, starting with October 30th at the Detroit Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 5:30. That's Devil's Night. That's awesome. Oh, doors open at 4? Fights are at 5:30. Okay, 5.
Fights are at 5 or 5:30? Right.
Well, we're going to let Claire Burke introduce, and James Ballard's in the house. We're going to let her introduce who she's brought with us today.
Oh, I have Ed Jafar, who's the promoter of Jafar Boxing.
That's awesome.
And he's putting on a show on the 30th, and I'm going to let him introduce his guy here.
Thank you, Clara. Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah.
We got Mr. Frady here. He's, believe it or not, he's a debut, and that's going to be a good fight because we got Willie Williams coming out of Florida to fight him, and that's a 168-170 pound fight, and the other guy's 6'5". 6'5", really looking forward to that fight. So Sinan Frady's here, and he'll be one of he'll be one of the guys on the card that night. We got a great card. We got some real good Michigan talent on the card, starting with James. James is going to be in a decent test because he's got Hakeem Watkins out of Georgia. Now, Hakeem Watkins is known to put up some real, real tough fights, and he's fought some tough guys. For example, Bertashir Obidov, who's one of my fighters, who's out of Uzbekistan, who beat on the Wilder card, we went in against another Russian who was 264-4. His record was,
he
was ranked number one in the world, six-time Ukrainian champion, had a gold. He was 1-0, and we were 2-0. No, we were 4-0. We ended up beating him. the same guy James is going to fight, actually, Obidov fought, and he dropped Obidov in the second round, but Obidov ended up coming back and beating him. So James has got a tough fight, and we got some good fighters, and we got some good it's going to be a good challenge for a lot of fighters who haven't been challenged. I know you had Antonio Wade on the other night. That was a great show. I listened to it.
Thank you.
And, yeah, Antonio Wade, he's another up-and-coming. He's the hidden secret in Michigan. You know, really the boxing world knows Antonio Wade, but not too many people out there. Like the guy that was 8-0 or 7-0 whatever that wanted to fight him, they have no idea what they're getting into when they fight him. I mean, and in the Detroit gyms, like James, Sinan, I bring Garza down. He's another guy that's something to watch, Ernesto Garza. And what happens when they get in the gym, you know who fighters are. And Antonio Wade, he goes, boy. He does go. And really, you can pick the guys in Detroit that go in and just brawl. You can see the boxers. You can see, like, he would challenge anyone. James would get in there with anyone. I get Ernesto Garza. I don't know if you're familiar with Ernesto. Ernesto, he was 1-0 for 2 years. I mean, he was a World Series boxer, won the World Series, won Ringside World, and 1-0 for 2 years. I got him on my show and signed him, and we went our second fight. No, his second fight back. So he was 2-0. We went into Cincinnati in a full house at the Horseshoe Casino against a 6-0 Devontae Allen. Everybody said, oh, you guys are crazy. You guys shouldn't be doing this. He knocked this kid out. I mean, just destroyed him. So we have a lot of talent on this card. We got DeAndre Ware out of Toledo.
Yeah.
He's got a battle. He's got a kid from New York we're bringing in who's never been stopped, who just keeps coming. I mean, he just keeps coming forward. So that's going to be a good one. Ernesto Garza, we got a good matchup for him. We got somebody out of California coming in. And, you know, Mexicans, they just – you ain't going to just – I don't care if they're 2-10 or 10-0, they're just going to keep coming. I mean, they ain't going to give up.
Yeah. DeAndre Ware, I saw that. That was the guy that fought Tommy well, didn't fight Tommy Bonasco, but his crowd was the firefighters in the audience.
That Tommy right. Bonasco yeah.
Alive. He is a firefighter, okay. Right.
Yeah. Tommy Bonasco, who had passed away in the ring. You know, they kept him alive until the ambulance was supposed to. First off, there wasn't an ambulance on site in that Toledo show, which I've argued about before. But it was DeAndre Ware's friends who kept him alive through CPR until they were able to come in and revive him. And it's just by luck that he was a firefighter. Right. All the tickets he had sold were firefighters.
Right.
And so Tommy Bonasco was lucky. But Ware's a talent. I mean,
he
goes in there and he takes care of business. Toledo is that unknown secret for some reason to Detroit. There's a lot of good fighters out there, especially with Robert Easter just winning.
Sure.
From Toledo. I want to get your background in a second, Ed, but James, he was talking a little bit about your opponent. I know you don't duck anybody.
No.
You're looking for a test.
I gotta get this test. I got to. They're building me up to be a belt holder, not just a fighter, not just a boxer. But a belt holder. So, I mean, I got to fight winning records. I got to fight 500 records. You know, I got to do this. And it's understandable, and it's what the people want. And I got to get the people what they want because I want what I want.
Right.
You know, I want them championships. I want to go undisputed. You know, I want to be one of the baddest fighters that ever set foot in the ring. So,
you know what?
I got to take these tests.
You know what fascinates me, James, and we've talked about this over lunch and stuff, and Ed would agree, is that when you get mine and Jimmy's age, okay?
Okay.
Time is the most important thing. Money doesn't even become a become an issue anymore. Like, it's like, will I invest time in that, right?
Yeah.
In your theory about 500 or better, when people take fights that are just padding record fights, to me, you're not losing, like, you know, a chance at ranking. You're losing a three-month training period that you'll never get back.
Yep.
You know, if you're in the prime of your life and you're going to fight somebody 4 and 22 just to get something.
Right. Ain't going to get you nowhere.
Exactly. Yep. And you've gotten older.
Yep.
And not everyone's going to be Bernard Hopkins and fight until they're 50 and stuff.
Right.
So to me, that's the correct approach, to always challenge yourself and to be ready to do it. But there's some people out there that just don't think that way. But when you get me, mine and Jimmy's age.
How old are you, James?
27.
Okay. I literally just turned 40 2 weeks before that, I was 27. That's how fast it goes. I mean, I kid you not. You're going to blink and you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm 40. So take, yes, like Brad was saying, take this time. Take those fights. And this goes for any kind of boxer. Don't take the fights that are going to pad your records, because you're going to look back and you're going to go, I've lost all that time and I will never get it back.
Good.
So absolutely.
That's
do what you're
old
doing.
Old man advice.
Yeah, exactly.
I take heed.
Yeah.
But no, so tell us a little bit about what you know about the opponent. We've obviously heard from Ed talking a little bit about it, but tell us what you know about your opponent, why you're excited to be getting in the ring with him.
Because he come to fight. And this is what Detroit was, you know, screaming about. They want to see good fights. They want to see competitive fights. They want to see, you know, two dogs get in there and go at it. They want to see that. They want to see two fighters get pushed at their limit. They want to see that. And, I mean, fighters been building up their records, and I understand that. But now it got to the point where, okay, all right, y'all, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take some winning records and let's do it. All right, let's separate the man from the boy, straight up. And that's how I'm putting it.
Yeah.
Just let's separate the man from the boy. If you got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't. Put it together. Go get it. That's all I got to say.
Jimmy, you missed it last week. You weren't in studios, but Ed was referring to the interview. Last week's show was just everybody, like, calling out everybody. And it continued out on social media.
Oh, did it?
And then some people listened to the show, like, a week later.
Right.
And then restarted it again. And, like, you just saw people, like...
Yeah, yeah. Like,
you know,
a flame war.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just like, all right, gasoline back on the flame.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry I missed last week's show, but I was in a show of my own rehearsing for it, so
congratulations.
One weekend open and close, you know, it's not like the other shows where you do multiple weekends, so, but it was good. But yeah, I really missed I'm sorry I missed last week's show, because it sounded like it was a really, really good show to be on.
It was. We had to cut it short because the Cubs play, and I won't.
Boo.
No, the Cubs are awesome. And so let's get a little background on Ed. How did you get into boxing for everybody? This is the first time on the undercard. How did you get into boxing and promoting?
We grew up in the south end of Dearborn, near the southwest Detroit area. They started this program at Joe Hamoud Center called Retiring Salamasi started, and everybody else. So we were all always in there. That was our hobby. Instead of being on the streets, we'd go in there. And how it started really is Oscar Sanchez's father. I remember because we were playing football, and two kids will start fighting. So he'll run to the house and grab four, like two pairs of gloves. He'll say, here. And so everybody will start pounding. So we went ahead, and the city came in and started this program. So we went in it, and then as I got older, I got away. Like, it was nothing. There was nothing there for me in it. I didn't fight. I wasn't involved with it. I was doing my own thing, and I used to know Emmanuel pretty good. And, you know, we'd meet up in Vegas. We were there for the George Foreman, Michael Moore fight. So we'd always talk. I'd always pick his brain. Then I did a few amateur shows, and I went ahead and said, we're going to go ahead and do a pro show the next few months. And we did, and it was the first pro show, 3-4 years ago, and it went well. You know, it went well. And the reason I like to promote is we get to move our guys. You know what I'm saying? Where yeah. I don't have to ask, even though I like Carlos and Dimitri. In fact, today I was on the phone with Carlos, and which, you know, like when his show comes, I'm the first guy to help him. Eddie, I need somebody for a 1:30 or this. And Dimitri, same thing. So the good thing is we all work together. And everybody says, oh, this guy hates on this guy. And it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing shows because I have fighters, and I don't want to go and, you know, ask this, hey, can I put my guy on your show, or can I put my guy on your show? It's you know, wanted to build them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I started doing my own shows. You know, I started, for example, with Ernesto Garza, and I got a few kids that I brought from Mexico, got them a visa, and we were on... We've been on some big fights. We've been on the Berto Ortiz card, on the Wilder card, Pacquiao, Mayweather, Maidana. So we've had some luck, and it all starts right here in Detroit. I mean, it started for me in Detroit, and that's what got me out there on those big cards, you know. And I think Detroit's coming back. I think boxing... is, look, now we got three of us doing October, November. Carlos is coming back in December. I want to come back in January. So it's a good thing for all of us. I mean, it's a good thing for boxing. And like I was listening to Antonio the other day. It's not easy to do a show.
That's what I was going to say. If it's not easy, everyone would do
it. It's not easy. It looks easy from outside. You got to deal with the commission. You got to deal with medicals. You got to deal with fighters. You got this guy doesn't want this guy. He wants this guy. I mean, one of the fighters today said, hey, oh, come on, give me somebody. We don't. I'm in my own town. I said, no, no, no. You got this guy right here. You want him? Take him. You don't want to take him? I'm not mad at you. I ain't bringing nobody that's going to lay down for you.
Right.
So I brought him a guy that's never been stopped, good record, but he also is not a power puncher. But he's fought guys like Saul Rodriguez out of California. He's had some big opponents. He didn't beat him, but he didn't lay down, you know, so it's going to be a fight. Now, if you go in there underestimating this guy, he's going to catch you, you know. And we need fights like that. We need fights where guys step up. I understand if somebody's a debut or he's got one fight or two fights. But once those, like this guy, you got to put a leash on Antonio Wade. I'm the one that told him. I went and had a long test. Listen, you don't need that 8-0 fight because it's going to be harder to get you the next fight.
Yep.
You know.
You beat somebody 8-0, it's going to be difficult.
And then it's going to be more expensive for the opponent for the next fight. Oh, look, this guy beat an 8-0 guy. Oh, no, I want $3,000 to fight this guy. Where you got to build yourself up. I figure 5, 6, 7, you got to start stepping it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's some fighters, they're at 4, 6, 8. I mean, I took Garza into Tampa. We were 5-0. He was 9-0 with 9 knockouts. And it was a war. You can see it on his name is Hector Mercado. The next fight, Hector Mercado dropped a guy that's 27-10 in the first round, probably 40 seconds. We lost the decision. We're in Florida. We didn't lose the fight. We lost the decision. It was a Cuban kid in Florida. And it was a top-ranked fight. So you have to step up, but you got to be careful who you step up with, you know?
Oh, I totally agree.
And I tell these fighters, you got this guy, he's 14-2 or 14-0, but you don't know. It's a stacked record. You can sneak up on him, you know? And you got to be very careful who you fight, but you can't always keep yourself at a fighting opponents like you guys were saying earlier that are not credible. You know, at least if this guy's record that James is not fighting is not, let's see who he fought. How did he do against those guys? He's a solid opponent.
Yep.
You know, and he's fought three top-notch fighters that we know of.
Yeah, I can remember the guy's name, but who'd you fight at the Masonic, the guy that fought Kovalev? And although his record wasn't good, you looked at the people that he lost to, and it was just
– Nathan Bedwell.
Yeah. Yep, that's Nathan. And I don't know if he still has fought since you fought him.
He hasn't.
But that was, you know, you look at it and his record didn't look good, but you looked at who he lost to and you were like, well, he's fought very some quality people. Opponents, right? So you play that game. We're going to go to our first break and we'll be back. We're going to be talking more about the show that's happening on October 30th, Dearborn Performing Arts. How do you prefer them get tickets? Through the fighters or where?
They can, if they're there to see a certain fighter, get a hold of that fighter, or on the poster, they can call me at 313-502-1688. They can get a hold of Claire. They can get a hold of anybody that's involved in the show or a fighter, manager, trainer, whoever.
And I appreciate it being on a Sunday night. I was talking last week. No, I like that. I mean, when you cover the sport and it's every Friday, Saturday you lose, you know,
right.
out of your weekend, it's kind of neat to have the occasional sure. Thursday or Saturday show.
Sure.
Or Sunday show, I'm sorry. So we'll be back in 3 minutes or less.
However many.
No, a little bit more.
Beetlejuice.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome back to the undercard. As you know, the Cubs are in the playoffs. Could not be more excited. Jimmy has a Chicago story to ruin my Cubs excitement, I think. Was it too trafficy for you?
What? Chicago?
Yeah.
No. So this was a start. So 2 weekends ago, I went down to Chicago to visit with a friend of mine. And instead of – she was having a party on Saturday night, but I drove in Friday night and, you know, stayed there or whatever to – so I didn't have to drive and then turn around Sunday and drive back again. So Friday night when I got in, she's like, hey, do you want to go down to the local bar? And I said, sure. Not even really thinking about it because she's not a baseball fan or anything like that. And we walk in. It's absolutely packed. And, you know, and I'm like, why is this really packed? I'm not paying attention to anything that's going on. All of a sudden, I hear everybody go, woo! And I'm like, what is going on? I look up and I see the Cubs are playing and I go, boo! And then everybody just like turns to me and I went, Cubs suck.
Oh, no.
And they're just like, I mean, there were like guys that were like literally had murder in their eyes. And I went, Tigers rule. And we just walked away.
Oh, my God.
They probably don't. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they didn't care. But yeah, I almost got murdered in Chicago because of it.
That's your own
story. And as I was walking, I was going, meh.
So when it happens, it's going to be the biggest party.
Which it won't. It won't happen.
Anybody has ever.
You know what? Honestly, here that I actually, honestly, truly hope that the Cubs win so that you guys can all just shut up about it.
I don't know. You know, they're a young team.
Every year.
Too,
so oh, this win. Is the year. Every year. This is the year. Every
no,
year.
But this
is the
team
year.
Is special.
I know this team is special, but everybody always thinks that their team is special.
No.
Our team's special.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe a different kind of special.
I'm not concerned about the Dodgers. Clayton.
No, I really do hope they win so that everybody can be quiet about it for once.
Yeah, dude. Oh, I don't know. It's been an exciting baseball postseason, though. I'll give it that.
Well, they're 1-1 in the series right now, right?
Correct.
Yes.
But Clayton Kershaw is a beast, and so we lost against him. There's only so many times he can pitch.
Yeah.
We're pretty deep.
The win had a little bit of factor in – a lot of those hits, though.
Yeah. So three in L.A., and then I think they'll win in L.A. Yeah, I think we won't come back. I think we'll win. We'll win it up.
We'll see.
I know.
We'll
you,
see.
You believe in curses, huh?
And then as a
I know it's funny.
No. I don't believe in curses. What I believe is that when a group of people want something so bad, they actually create negative juju against the thing that they actually want.
Mm-hmm. Or the team could be so young they don't know about any of that and they just go out there and play.
Well,
and bash.
That's
they try not to suck.
Right.
Everybody tries not to suck.
One of the best commercials, even everybody. If you're not a boxing or a baseball fan, yeah. is you got to check out this Chris Bryant commercial, and we'll post it on our page. But there's a Chris Bryant commercial. They sent him down to the minors last year, and the whole reason was for contractual reasons. If he started off in the minors, you had another year before it had to go to arbitration.
So he's not
and
that good.
Him.
No, he's really good.
Right. It's a mm-hmm. it's a whole commercial, and then at the end Mike Ditka says, hey, your time's up. They called you up. They called him up instantaneously, like within 14 days. It was just Theo Epstein didn't admit it, but it was to save him another year for having to negotiate a free agent contract, which would be like $200 million. And the scene is he's getting picked up in Iowa, which is their AAA club, and he has a goat on a little chain, mm-hmm. you know, to end the curse. Yeah. They kind of embrace the curse, this mm-hmm. team. They want to break it. They understand. Whatever. It's just fun. Everybody thinks they had a curse, you know. Boston
they've had fun all year, though.
Right. So it'll be good. We're joined in studio by Eddie Jafar, who is throwing a show October 30th. We're talking about the show. We're going to talk to his pro debut here. And then also we got in studio James Ballard and Claire Burke, who are good friends of the show. But I'm going to try to get the name right. Sinan Fraudy.
Yes, sir.
Correct. All right.
Yay. Making
his pro debut. So yes, automatically we got to talk a little bit about your amateur background. So okay. How'd you get into boxing and your amateur background?
Right. Well, I came from a fighting family. Both of my uncles were like top rank amateurs from my country, Iraq. So when I grew up, I was always around it. And ever since I can remember, they always showed us how to fight. You know, we grew up in a not the greatest area in Iraq. It was just basically dog eat dog. You know, and
give us a time frame for our audience. Like, when were you growing up in Iraq? What years?
I grew up until I was nine. '91, I came here.
Okay.
To the States.
Okay.
And
where in Iraq were you?
Basra. It's south of Iraq. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense then.
Yeah. And but I really started to take seriously when I was 17 years old. I fought in the Nationals in 2012. And when I was supposed to come back from the Nationals, it was kind of one setback after the other. At the Nationals, I broke my hand in two different places.
Mm.
And then Emmanuel at the time, mm-hmm. Who showed a lot of interest in me, he believed in me, you know. And I was supposed to turn pro with him. But after I came back, I broke my hand. He said, as soon as you heal, you know, we're going to go ahead and start
right.
your career. And then, he died. Passed away. And the doctor said I need to give it a couple of years if I really wanted to go back and do it, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah.
So how's the hand feel now?
Feels great.
Good.
Feels great.
Yep. Good. Yep.
So a couple of years, so that was a pretty bad break.
Yes. I broke into two different places, as you can see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. No surgery? No?
I didn't have surgery. It just kind of healed by itself.
All right.
Okay.
So we got to turn over to Eddie here. Why is Sinan ready to make his pro debut? Because it's one of those questions that, you know, it is a timing issue. Why do you think he's ready?
Really, his uncle, as he was saying, made that decision, and his uncle called me and said, listen, can we put him on? His uncle's got... Like, his first cousin signed with Mayweather,
mm-hmm.
Ahmed Fraidy, who lives in Vegas. And his uncle said, you know, I'm not going to be around because I'm going to be in Vegas, but I really want him on the show. He's ready to go. He's losing time. He's getting older. So I said, hey, he's got to make that decision. He's got to be in the gym, you know. And I guess he made a commitment. Couple days ago, there was a war. Him and Antonio Wade in that gym. I mean, they were going at it, sparring. So he gets tested in the ring. He's in the gyms, and he steps up. So I think he's ready to go. And he's not getting any younger. And he's got a guy who's pretty big, strong dude coming. So I told him, hey, you know, one day I saw him. I said, have you been in a gym? Yeah, I've been in a gym. And I called Rick. Rick said, you know, I haven't seen him a couple of days. The next thing you know, I said, hey, this guy's coming to fight. And next thing you know, Sinan's in the gym. And Rick calls me and says, man, this kid, I don't know what you said to him, but he took it serious because he's been here every day, you know. So, you know, that's the good thing about promoting a show. You can give everybody an opportunity, you know. Not too many, you know, there's a lot of good fighters in Detroit. Detroit has got some talent. I mean, look, you got Dominique, you got Tony, you got, and that guy Obidov that I told you about. I brought him in before Tony fought on that Showtime fight. This guy, because he was Russian, he would come forward and he prepared him unreal, you know, and he took that game plan to the fight. You know, right after a fight, I text him and says, you followed the plan. That was the plan. Don't be careless, just wait. And Obidov made him wait. So in Detroit, to get back to that, there's a lot of talent and they need a stage, you know. They need a stage. You see guys leaving, like Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to Chicago to fight, or he's going to Indiana to fight. You know, and I want those guys here. Even if I don't sign them, I can care less about it. I sign them, don't sign. I don't care about that, you know. Hey, the talent's here. And that's the good thing about Dimitri. I mean, I love that Dimitri's here. You know, some people, oh, it's your turn. No, hey, you know what? That's good. The more, the better.
Right.
I mean, if I want to put one of my guys on Dimitri, all I got to do is call him. Carlos. I'm putting him out. No problem, Eddie. You got it. And I do the same for them. Before Dimitri was here, he put a few guys on my shows. You know, we work together. And that's what these guys need. Jane, Sinan, Garza, that new kid, that heavyweight kid. He won the Nationals. Carter. And, I mean, this Carter was, he did something in the amateurs that not too many people right. did. I mean, he knocked out the last five guys he faced to the finals. That's never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be on the card. You know, that's his debut. And then we got a guy named Dave McWhorter out of New York. Great businessman. Real, very well off. Youngest sports agent ever in the NBA. He was like 22 years old, you know. Ivy League. So he's in boxing, and I remember when he got this first fighter, and I got to know him. We met at a show in D.C. We became great friends. He signed Holmes. He's got DeAndre Ware. He's got that kid.
Which one?
The heavyweight debut.
Carter. Oh, okay.
Carter. Marcus Carter. He's got, I mean, I can tell you, and he is also given the opportunity. So he's, there's a kid, Jay Nelson,
mm-hmm.
17 years old. He's already got him at 2-0, got him in Texas. He would have fought on this card, but he's fighting on a top rank card on the 28th with Eric Dillion. So the talent's here. The talent needs to be shown, you know. And really, Dave's helping, putting those guys out there. I'm helping. Dimitri is helping. Carlos is helping. And that's what we need.
Right. Sinan, how old are you currently?
32.
32, okay. So that's a little late in the game to be making a pro debut. What advantages do you think that gives you in the ring? I mean, you've seen a little bit of life now.
Yeah,
in boxing, the metaphors of life.
Absolutely.
It's the drive. Absolutely.
Well, the advantages are you're more mature. You're more skilled. You have manpower now. You're more relaxed where, you know, if, younger fighters are more, you know, eccentric and they just, you know, and they're just full of energy at the same time, it backfires on them. And they get nervous and they make mistakes. I've been in the game for a long time, you know. I mean, I said, I wasn't actually going to go back into this, but it was just that, you know, that that stone that's unturned. You know, I just had to do it, and to prove to myself, you know, that I could do it.
Awesome. I like the answer. Let's move over to James Ballard here a little bit as we start wrapping up the show for the last 15 minutes. And then Jimmy's got to do his What's on Tap also. James, we talked about the pivotal fight here. Let's talk a little bit about what was said on our show last week. A little bit about, you know, the old adage that people don't fight people from the same cities and stuff like that. I just have a theory. Boxing's changed in the last 10 years to bring in an opponent. What it costs to bring an opponent. To fight somebody like you, James Ballard, at like 12-0, it's going to cost me about $2,000 to bring in somebody. Two fives. That benefits you.
Right. Three.
I think gym hopping is bad for the sport. I think that gives you a false sense of friendship that you, I don't want to fight that guy. That guy's my friend. Back in the day, 10 years ago, gym hopping wasn't as prevalent as it is now, where you'd work out at one gym, then hop to another gym, and then you've sparred everybody. They know every trick they've ever seen of you. Do you think I'm headed in the right direction? And I'll ask Eddie, too, that we've reached a time where and it's fair for promoters to make money. I mean, they're putting up a lot for you guys, right? So I see it from both sides, the fighter's standpoint and the promoter. This conflict between fighters and promoters that they like to get into, it's just like they're different entities, but you guys got to understand both of you guys are heading down paths that you should be successful in. Do you think that there's some people out there in Detroit you'd like to fight, and do you think that the future of boxing is maybe fighting kids from the same city? Because that's the new nature of the game.
Sure. Okay, I understand it's a picking order in boxing when it comes to a city. Right?
And I'll put it like this. It's boxing. If it make dollars, it makes sense.
We can be the best of friends out the ring all day long. And in the ring, you don't know me, I don't know you. That's just how I go. And that's the real nature of a boxer, honestly. 3-0. I was boxing. Coming up through amateurs, I was boxing with Dwayne Williams and Leo Hall and all of them over there. You know, we fought each other. On Carlo's show, I was supposed to fight him when he was 5-2 or something like that, and I was 3-0. Was I worried about it? No. Have he sparred me a lot? Yeah. It didn't matter to me. You know, I'm gonna let you know something that every fighter would say. And they should say it because they're a fighter. Do you think I'm gonna let somebody in Detroit beat me? Do you think I would let that happen? I would do everything in my power and skill not to let that happen. If it make money, it makes sense. You know, $4,000, $5,000 fights, it can happen. It can happen because everybody's screaming, oh, we need this, we need that. Okay, then. Now, Eddie Jafar came and said, you know what? Then y'all step up. Y'all really want to be these top prospects and y'all got these great trainers. Then step up. Okay, so what I'm saying to you to answer your question, yeah, that could happen in Detroit. It definitely can. It just got to make sense. Ain't no hiding or ducking nobody. It just got to make sense. And it's getting to the point to where people willing to spend that money just to see it. Like, seriously, like, just to see it happen. Like, hey, I drop $5,000. I spend that on a vacation. He can have it. Or she can have it. If it's a female fighting, she can have it. It doesn't matter. And I understand that. It's getting to that now because now you got the separation of great fighters, good fighters, and okay fighters. Then you got separations of good coaches, okay coaches, and great coaches. That's just how I go. And not knocking any coaches. I didn't have some great coaches. I didn't have some good coaches. I didn't been trained by some good people, some great people. I'm getting trained by a great coach right now. You know, Greg Coverson. And I mean, like, he pushes me in depth. Like, if I mess up, if I for instance, say I get rocked in the ring. I mean get rocked. Crack. And he would just be like, you know what? It's your fault. There ain't nobody fault but your fault. What did you do? Why did that happen? Think about why that happened and fix it. Sometimes you won't let me come out the ring till I fix it. Like, that's how in-depth his training is. So when it comes down to fighting people in Detroit, if it make money, why not?
Why not?
I got to ask the same question to Eddie. It's just me looking into the future predicting. Michigan's behind on a lot of states. I mean, you know this. The commission.
100%.
It's different in Michigan. You fight down in Ohio, the commission runs totally different. I did cite the one error where there was an ambulance, but you typically don't see that. They have a strict rule where you have to be at a certain record to even fight in their state. And the fights typically, I would be honest, are better in Ohio. I've covered the Arnold now for 3 or 4 years. Our ring girls have done the Arnold for 3 years or something. And Michigan needs a little bit of a kickstart. You guys are doing great. Three promoters. I love what you guys are doing. But you need a little help. So tell us what you guys would need. And what about my theory of why is it so bad, a 10-2 fighting a 12-0 in Detroit?
I think that's a great idea. I think it's got to happen. Two things. I stay in touch with Robert Garcia from Golden Boy. So we're talking when he said, Eddie, give me an 18-3 and give me a 27-0. And if that 18-3 fought beasts and the 27-0 was mediocre, I'll take that 18-3 any day of the week. That's one. Detroit, there's enough talent. Hey, you know what? They got to step up. Someone will always step up, and someone, you know, it's not a good fight. Like you said, he's my friend. I'm going to give you a situation that happened 2 weeks ago. Dimitri called me and said, Eddie, you know this particular fighter and his trainer. Help me out. I want to bring him to fight Ed Williams. Guy's got one loss, big record. I said, the third, the trainers. He said, absolutely. So I called the guy's trainer. I said, listen, they're offering this. Boom, boom, boom. Would you take the fight? He said, you know, I got to think about it. I said, okay. $3,000 for the fight. I said, that's not enough money. I said, okay, $4,000. Well, let me sleep on it, you know. I said, look, it's an even fight. Let's just get it done. What do you want? You want 5,000, 30% of the tickets. Dimitri said, it's all right. It's a good deal. Get it. The guy said, I had a gut feeling, and my gut feeling told me it's not a good. But your gut feeling told you, okay, when you fought a guy with 500 amateur fights.
Right.
You know, and you lose. I mean, I said, you know what? This is an even fight. You win this fight, you're a step closer to the bigger fight. You know, because the last fight you lost didn't look too good at all. Now you beat this guy, you're back on top. Now you go for a $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 fight. They don't want to take that chance. It would have been a great fight because both would have brought in people, both would have sold tickets. Now remember, it's not my show. I'm trying to help somebody to do this. You know, not too many guys would do that. I'd do the same for Carlos, but the guys have to step up. Today, there was a comment on Facebook with a friend of mine, Lamar, who trains DeAndre and Tucker and everybody else. And I said to him, they said something about, Ohio's the best boxing city in the country. I'm going to hear some slack. Toledo. I said, let's do January, Ohio, Michigan.
It'd be great.
You know, hey, let's do Ohio, Michigan. We'll step up. You step up. And let's put it together. I think that's a great thing. You know, Toledo, Detroit, not too costly because they're close. And both cities got fighters. So let's do it. I mean, I'll work on that. And I told them we'll work on it. We'll try to put something together. Ohio, Michigan.
It was great because we deal with a lot of casual boxing fans that have felt from promoters. And I'll tell you that they don't feel like they've gotten their money's worth over 6-7 years.
Right.
And it's one of those things where sometimes they even walk into a place and can't even get a fight card. You know what I'm saying? Right. And they don't know. So they're boxing fans. They're buying tickets because they want to be around the sport.
Right.
But at the same time, they leave and their customer satisfaction rating is down. And I'm being totally honest about that. Yeah, what's up, James?
Nah. I know they probably saying, well, Ballard ain't stepped it up until he was 7-0.
No.
Ballard wanted Anthony Sims at 3-0. Went to the weigh-in like, hey, bro, stop ducking me. We gave him – he called me out one time. I said, okay, we can get it popping. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Then it didn't go through. He picked Dwayne Williams. I said, okay, whatever. Then we called him and said, okay, let's get the fight going for the one time. Let's do it. He said, okay, I need a couple months. I said, okay, give him a couple months. Gave him a couple months, he ain't called back. That was it. Fight didn't happen. So I'm like, you know what? I've been trying to step it up, you know, because I don't have the time to be bulling, to sit around. I mean, y'all putting time in, you putting time in. Y'all could be doing something else. Y'all don't have to do this. Y'all well-educated. Y'all can do whatever y'all want. Y'all do not have to do this. And I feel like it's a disadvantage to people, to the fans and stuff that watch boxing and keep up with boxing and don't get a chance to see some competitive fights. And I understand it's good to wait for a build-up and everything, but, I mean, it's a couple guys out there that I'm going to go get. I'm telling you right now, you can set it up. You can set it up. But I'm coming to get these guys. Seriously. So that I've been trying to step it up since 3-0. You know, I finally, you know, Eddie came through, finally gave me a chance to step it up and show people that I can step it up. Hey, and I thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's go time.
Anybody really that wants to step it up, here's how I figure. So why would you take guys that'll fight with this guy? He's 6-0. I said, look, because if that guy beats him, that's one hell of a fighter.
Right.
I ain't worried about it. You know, took him to Hakeem Watkins, 7-1, in Columbus. Hey, they said, you're crazy. You shouldn't do it. I said, what do you mean I shouldn't do that? If this guy beats this kid, guess what? He's one hell of a fighter. I guarantee you the next guy he fights ain't going to be that tough then. You know what? He ended up being him. So you got to take that chance if you believe you're a good fighter. Like James is saying, hey, if you get caught, if you feel that you can beat this person, this other fighter, take the fight. But people want to see good fights.
Yep.
People don't want to see – listen, like again – if you get a kid debut 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, building him up, yeah, it's okay because you can move him faster. But they got to step up eventually because there's some, they build up that record, they get on Showtime.
Learn on the job then.
Boom.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? First loss, first hit, done. See, you don't want to be in that position. You got to test yourself as you're going on, you know, gradually. That's my advice. They can do what they want, but if somebody comes in and says, hey, I want a 2-10 guy, you know, and I'm 6-0, 7-0, that ain't going to happen. You can do it, but you'll do it in the street or something. Go to North Carolina. It ain't going to happen on this card. Now, if the guy's 2-7, and I know the guy fought 9 good fighters, yeah, that's a different ballgame, you know, but he's got to. There's a lot of guys that got upside down records that are real, real fighters.
Yep.
You know? So they're not like they were never, if they were built like the rest of our fighters were, they'd be in the same position.
We were at a group of the best boxing minds. We were at, what's the hotel?
Dearborn Inn.
The Dearborn Inn. And we're talking Detroit fighters, and it's tough because there aren't a lot of litmus tests out there.
Right.
A fight I can give you an example of was Dwayne Williams fought – I forget his name, but the nickname was Pay-Per-View from Toledo.
Paul Pay-Per-View Parker.
Yeah. Right. Both were undefeated at the time.
Yeah, 5-0.
And, you know –
I watched that fight.
Right. Yep. And Dwayne
– and he got stopped.
Right.
He fought hard, but he got stopped.
Exactly. Clearly Tony was a little bit ahead of James or not James,
Paul.
No, I lost my train of thought now, but those fights are important to the sport. And I understand that you want to build somebody up to 9-0 and 10-0, but we learned a lot about each fighter that night. And that was a good Toledo first Detroit rivalry. There was fights in the back room.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that was the one where the brawl broke out in the Masonic and they didn't have security. I think it's important to the sport because then from there, Parker was considered, you know, okay, well, he fought somebody that was undefeated. You don't really see that too often. And, you know, Dwayne Williams taking the fight and everybody taking the fight, that was good. Dwayne Williams then after that took a fight in Las Vegas that he probably shouldn't have against an Olympic gold medalist, a Russian. And from there, his career went a different path. But the fight of seeing where you're at from a promoter standpoint, they're investing in you.
Right. Matters.
I mean, if you buy a car from me, James, are you going to test drive the car?
Pretty sure I will.
Right.
Before I buy it.
I see nothing wrong with a promoter putting you against a test to see if he's going to sink some money into you. He's got to test you to see what he has, to see where you could do that.
It's one of the only businesses that people don't do that. I mean, any other business, what is it, the 80-20 rule?
Yeah.
Right? You spend 80% of your time and money on your top 20%.
Yep.
Boxing, I have no idea what they're doing. No one wants to get their guy a loss, but if they're going to get a loss sooner or later. So you just keep piling money and piling money. But we even reached out to a guy who was 14-2.
Didn't want anything to do with you?
17-1. I mean, yeah. No, I mean, nothing. I'm not taking that fight. You guys, I'm 7-0. You're 14-2. You're 17-1. No one.
And then that's where I would lean to Eddie over here. What's his realistic expectation, a 17-2 guy not wanting to fight an undefeated fighter that's not had 10 fights yet? Because clearly there is a way to make money. You build yourself up, take a challenge here, take a challenge there, hopefully make enough money that you can maybe buy a house and put some away. There's a way to do that. If you're 17-2 and ducking somebody that's not had 10 fights – that's undefeated. I don't know where you're in the wrong sport. Really, I don't know. You're just going to be a club fighter making $2,000-$4,000 the rest?
They have a guy, Robert Garcia's got a guy that's starting. He's 12-0. I said, hey, how about Garza? I said, no, they don't want Garza. On the DiBella show, it was a few months ago in Connecticut. All right, how about Nassif? No. So I got somebody for you. We got Jose Salinas out of New Mexico. I know he's a tough kid. I said, would you take? He says, yeah. I said, but if we beat him, we want a contract. So I said, if we beat your 12-0 guy, DiBella, we want a contract. He said, okay, how about if I give you a 3 fight? I said, no, give us 6 fight minimum. And this is what we got to get paid. He said, okay. We went in there and we beat him. To beat the shit out of him. Excuse my language.
No, you're fine.
Yeah. But so what happened is Selena took that chance, but it's a chance that I knew he could do. I would never put somebody who's 6-0, 7-0 in a fight against a 14-0 and go, I don't care how much it's paying, if it's not a good fight. This was a good fight. I said, you trust me? He said, absolutely, Eddie. So we're taking this fight. We took the fight. We destroyed this guy. It was his first loss. And right after the thing, they brought the papers and here's the contract. You know, so he went from making $1,500, $2,000 a fight to minimum
$5,000. Yep.
You know, so yeah, you got to take those chances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is. Sometimes it backfires and sometimes it doesn't. Very rarely is it going to backfire because you're not going to go into a fight that you don't think you could have a chance in.
Now, see, Don, really quickly before Jimmy does what's on tap, basically 32 years old.
You guys keep bringing that up.
No, because I'll tell you this.
I joined the military when I was 30, turned 31 basic training. At 32, I was in the best shape I've ever been in my life. So you're at your prime right now, yes, actually.
Yes, well, we're going to see if he is.
Well, no, I'm just saying. For personal, you know, at 32, I wish I could go back and be 32 right now.
When you get the win, and I'll say when you get the win on October 30th, because I believe in you. I can see the hunger in your eyes. Are you going to take a little bit more risk because of the time frame?
Me and Eddie, we're thinking about doing at least 9-10 fights a year.
Which is difficult because you got to find a lot of shows.
But you know what? He could have took a guy from Detroit, MMA fighter, 0-1. I said, look, you have to. He said, no, I'll take that guy. I said, but that guy, he's got 2 losses, but the guys that beat him were
at the time 8-0, 9-0. So he's going to come to fight. The kid's 6'5", solid, cut up. It's going to be a war. He said, I want that guy. So he chose that over that. I give him credit for that. You know, I said, that's up
to you. I just didn't want a guy that's going to come and lay down
right
in front of me. I have a lot of my relatives, a lot of my friends, a lot of my family, they're going to come to the fight. I just don't want a tomato can to just sleep right in front of me before I even hit him. And I want to put on a show, and I want to test myself as well. I feel I am in my prime right now.
And realistically, yeah, if you pick the guy, and I don't know the guy he's talking about, that takes a knee, waits the 10 count. We've all been to those pro debuts where shot, they go to a knee, they don't beat the, and the ref weighs it off. You're going to learn more about yourself from this fight than you would have from the other fight.
Absolutely, yeah. That's going to give you a little bit of a compass. I want to challenge myself. I'm not here to just to take home a win just so and be proud of myself for something that's everybody expects to happen.
Jimmy, let's do what's on tap. We're going to go to one song break, and then we're going to finish up with our guests. We are having great conversation here. The passion for Detroit boxing is back. We got three promoters in the mix that Eddie was talking about. But let's talk one more time. I'll do a part of what's on tap. October 30th, come to Dearborn Performing Arts Center. Come check it out. We got two of the combatants in with us that have been talking about it. Boxing's a great sport. Come out and support these people. October 30th, fights start at 5, doors at 4. Jimmy, what else is on tap this week?
All right, here we go. This is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. All right. There's actually not a whole lot going on, you know, as far as big fights or whatever, so I'm just going to pick some random ones. Lincoln, Rhode Island on – hold on. I got to do this online here. October 21st in Lincoln, Rhode Island, you have Killary Gray versus Chris Chapman, 8 rounds for the junior middleweights. In Edinburgh, Scotland, you have Josh Taylor versus Dave Ryan, 12 rounds for the vacant Commonwealth Junior Welterweight title. Brisbane, Australia, Jeff Horn versus Rico Mueller, 12 rounds for the IBF Welterweight Eliminator. October 22nd in Montreal, you have David Lemieux versus Christian Rijos, 10 rounds for the super middleweights. Birmingham, England, Sam Eggington versus Frankie Gavin, 12 rounds for the welterweights. Moving on to MMA on October 21st, Bellator 162, Shlemenko versus Grove at the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee, in the good old U.S. of A. And that's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. We're going to go to one quick song, and we'll be right back.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome back to the Undercard, everybody. Before we move the show along, I don't know if I've talked about it yet on the air, but a little kid named TJ is battling liver cancer. He was in Children's Hospital for about a month and a half. I've been in talks with his family, and Cody Stamens and me are working on some stuff for him, some fundraiser stuff. But there is a fundraiser, an open house fundraiser at First United Methodist Church of Flat Rock. Everyone is welcome. There's going to be a 50-50 prize drawing in honor of TJ, bake sale, fundraiser dinner. So go out and support TJ. This is happening Sunday, October 23rd, 2016. Dinner's 3 to 8 p.m. Adults are $8. Under 10 years old is 4. Kids under 5 eat for free. So if you get a chance, like I said, the kid is fighting liver cancer. Last I heard, he was at home from his family members. But he was at Children's Hospital going through chemo. I do believe he needs a liver transplant because of the liver cancer. So we want to just make people aware a little bit about that. I want to thank our guests we had in here today. This was a good boxing discussion, and that's the only way it's going to get better. We have a commission that meets a few times a year. And it's up to the promoters, it's up to the fans, and it's up to the boxers to all put our heads together and try to figure out a way to make the sport what it was a few years back. I look at Detroit as the boxing capital of the world. And Frank Garza said at Emmanuel's funeral that people used to ask him all the time why he never reffed in Las Vegas. And he said, because you have to come through Detroit anyways to be a champion. I want to see those days back here again. There's a reason that there was an arena named after a boxer. There's a reason there was a fist in Detroit. And these great conversations where people aren't attacking each other and trying to figure out a way to make it better is good. You know, I want to thank Scotty Buck for what he does with Team Buck Boxing.
Sure does.
Oh,
yeah. Does a great job.
We need people talking about it. We need awareness out of there. We need more media outlets to cover this. You know, I welcome more competitors. I welcome more podcasts to make this thing what I know it can be. There's great individuals. I've known James for a while now. We've had lunch. I believe it was lunch. I learned more about this guy. He bought my son gifts when he broke his leg. I mean, the relationships you build in boxing are amazing. And they're great with fans. Right. You know, there's a couple of people that really listen to our show, our loyal listeners. And they're always afraid to go up to boxers. And I always tell them that out of any athlete I've ever dealt with, they're the best to go up against, you know, or go up to.
100%. You're absolutely right.
Say hi to them. Get an autograph. Get a photo.
Just don't do it right before they're about to go in the ring. That's all I'm going to say, you know. Well, do it after they fought and they're relaxed. Don't do it when they're getting mentally prepared.
Or when they have a water bottle in
their hand. Or when they have a water
bottle. Empty or full.
Yeah, exactly.
But this discussion will make the sport better. Let's think outside the box. I know my idea of having some people from the city rubs people wrong, trainers wrong, gyms wrong. But it's if you do business as usual and we're heading down a path that isn't what the city used to be, I'm open to it, you know, and I know a lot of people are open to it. I'm open to discussions. I'm open to hearing what other people have to say to make the sport better in Michigan. We should be cutting edge. We shouldn't be way behind the curve. And it's one of those things where it's just going to take more people involved. I tell people all the time, people come up to me and Rochelle will agree, they think I have one of the best jobs in the world. And I always tell them that there are more jobs in boxing, in MMA also, that if you wanted into the sport, because MMA especially growing and boxing will never die, there are jobs out there. People do retire. People do get old. There are passings of torches. I lean on my mentors, a Frank Garza. I lean on those people that have been around and tell me. I lean on my sources that, you know, have been great to me. And so we just need to keep discussion going. That's where we're going to head, the undercard. The first few years we were rah, 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 but we're going to make some solutions now and make things better and push the envelope a little bit and get people talking, because I think that's what the sport needs. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. First off, Claire Burke, she organized the show, so she should get producing credit today.
Oh, yeah.
I greatly appreciate that. And then I want to thank Eddie Jafar. Once again, it is October 30th. It's a Sunday. What else are you going to be doing Sunday? Watch Lions lose? And yeah, I mean, just come anyways. And doors are going to be opening at 4. 5 o'clock are the fights, so that's an early night. That's the other complaint I have. That should wrap up kind of early.
We do have over 10 bouts, so.
But it's still going to be earlier than most.
Yeah.
You're going to be home at a decent hour. Sure.
And that's at the Ford Community Performing Arts Center in Dearborn.
Yeah, it's a real
not the
home.
Dearborn Performing Arts.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. That's how you find it. I opened that place, so I know it really well.
We want to thank Sinan. Frady?
Yes, sir.
For joining us. Good luck on your pro debut. And we want to thank James Ballard for being out there. And Claire and James, I mean, they're undercard family. They're out there always promoting the show, and we greatly appreciate it. We want to thank our good friend Rick. Man, he was all over message boards. Just posting, you know.
Yeah.
He was stirring the pot a little bit, but that was good. You know, it got in the right hands.
Well, it's funny, too, because you'd see it, like, kind of, like, going, and then it'd start to slow down. And then Rick was kind of like Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. He was like, right. I'm going to poke it. I'd just start right back up.
He'd be like, I'd pay for that fight. And then there'd be 10 more comments under that again why that fight should happen.
Right.
Yo, Brad, you know what? I want to say this too.
you set the bar. You set the bar for these promoters to start working together and bring boxing back instead of trying to go at each other. You just set the bar. Brad, you set the bar for telling these fighters to step up. If you ain't going to step up, get out the way. All right? And Claire, you did your thing.
He's always good to me.
You worked hard, and that's what's up. Even the arguments, that's what's up. Like, you worked
the
hard.
The arguments are all your fault anyway.
Well, whatever.
Clearly.
But clearly.
That's
y'all
how you
the
know
bar.
They're a couple.
Well, I think.
Y'all clearly. The bar, so I think. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of you guys.
I want to tell whoever's listening, really, they need. Yeah, of course, I want a lot of people at the show. I want the show to be successful. But these guys put in a lot of hours in that gym. They bust their butt. They got trainers who are doing the same thing for that one day to put a show on. So whoever you know, whoever you're watching, come on out. Support these Detroit fighters, because I guarantee you on this card, there'll be a minimum of 4 fighters you will see on TV down the line.
I agree.
And this is the one quote I'm known for. People come up to me, but boxing's unique. 98% of your career is behind closed doors. They'll never see that. Everyone sees the 2%. They don't see the 98% when you wake up at 6 in the morning and are running. They don't see all these sparring sessions.
We don't have to get up till 6 and run?
No, you can get up.
Wait a minute. He's like 4:30 and he's like, come on, grab your bike, go behind me. I'm like, every day. Like,
okay. That's military life.
Every
right
day.
There.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Training camp, right? One of the Durrell brothers, Andre Durrell. You can't be playing around with that guy. Yep. You're ranked number 5 in the world. You like you got to be ready, because just like who knew he was gonna pop up? Yep. What if he popped up and I was out of shape and I was lazy? I got to toe up. Ain't no. You got to be ready. I mean, you ain't got to post everything you do. But you got to be ready.
Yep.
Like Jimmy Paul, Jim. I went over there and put 17 rounds in. Easy. Boom. No problem. But the guys that was coming through the door, he training, they ready to go. They going hard. Every round they going hard. So I'm like, okay, whoever come through the door, I had to make it fun for me. I'm the only one there. And I get what y'all saying. Don't go around to the gym sparring everybody. But, I mean, that's how it kind of was. It was kind of fun. You know what I'm saying? You go to the gyms, locals, what's up? But if Detroit is going towards that route, you know, and they got to fight each other and stuff, then maybe it is good not to. Yep. Go to gyms. But as far as I'm concerned, make money, makes sense. As far as just told fighters, step it up. You just set the bar, get the promoters working together. Claire Burke, one of the hottest men in the top 5.
You know, when too many guys spar each other, like they needed an opponent on Dimitri's show. And I said, well, how about my guy right here? Say, oh no, they sparred up 3 weeks ago, and I don't think he'll take you. We gotta be careful with that too.
Yep.
You know,
I agree.
So, you know, fighting each other. I mean, I've had situations where his cousin had a great fight for him. I told his dad, don't keep taking him to Wild West. You know, and I said, yeah, I got a guy for you guys. Boom. Next thing you know, they refused that fight. I said, why? So we're not an opponent. I said, I mean, you ranked number 6, 7 in the world. Oh no. We sparred him before, so we ain't taking that fight. So, you know, sometimes when you spar somebody that you have a little tension with, you're done. I mean, because one guy destroys the other guy, that guy's not going to want to get in there with him the next time. So limit your sparring with guys in your weight. You got to spar somebody.
Right.
You know, but limit it, because you might fight that guy down the line, you know. And I'd say, why show him everything about you? Why have your trainer look at him and start writing things? Okay, his left is stronger than his right, blah, 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 whatever. So they have to be careful on that also. But they should step up.
You got a gym that's giving you a lot. You should be supporting the gym that's giving you a lot. You know, gym hopping doesn't help a gym owner at all.
Sure.
And you need gyms.
Sure.
But you do, I mean, sometimes you're in a unique situation in which your gym doesn't have somebody that's going to push you. And then you arrange through coaches. That's happened a million times where you're going to get some work in with another gym. It's one of those things where I think that it's just the old school. You know, I came from, you know, this gym. I came from this gym.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things that with modern media, you see people jumping around all over the place. And it's something that, you know, maybe he's not healthy for the sport. We'll see everybody next week, and then we'll go from there. Take care. Go Cubs.
This is a previously recorded episode.